Hello, everyone. Welcome today to the episode of the Risky Mindset Podcast. Today, I'm excited to have Emeka today on the call. Right. So today, Emeka is a personal branding strategist. He's also an author and also a fellow podcaster. He's host of a podcast that is called Growth is Personal. So today, we're going to find out about his journey, you know, in the last couple of years. I mean, up until where he is right now. Thanks for coming on the call, Emeka.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tope. It's a pleasure to share this moment with you.
Good stuff. Yeah, so we are both in the same time zone, which is not normally what I get with my guests. So right. You're in Regina currently. I'm in Calgary. But again, I always start these interviews with find out about who you are and what shaped you to become the person that you are today. So tell us about your background, your childhood, and how you grew up.
Okay, so my background, I go back, way back. How far do I go? 10 years?
Let's go back. I mean, before, at least before you came to Canada, for example.
Came to Canada. Okay. So I grew up, I think I'm hearing my voice. I'm hearing echo. I don't know if it's me or you or from your.
No, I can't. I'm fine.
You're good. All right. So I grew up in Lagos, to be precise, in a very, it's a big community. Ijesha is very popular in Lagos, Surulere. And yeah. I grew up, family of four kids and my mom, my dad and mom. And I, went to university in a lot, Bisembanja University, agriculture. I read agriculture for bachelor's. And I then went on to, I went to school in Ogun State, and then I came back, went to serve in Nasarawa State. And I have always had, so my journey has been one of, not so from a rich family like that, but I've always had the nudge in me that I was meant for more, I was meant to do more. And one of the changing, pivoting moment for me was when I found a book by Tony Robbins. Right. And I think that's Waking the Giant in You or so. Mm-hmm. And that book, when I got that book and I started reading it, I realized that there's more to life. There is more to what is around my surrounding back then in Surulere. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was meant to do more. Right. So I started a journey of personal development, personal growth. I started studying. Like my life depend on it, that my friends could afford to give me money to buy books. So I had a friend who had, the ability to buy books. So I would go to his house early in the morning and get a book, read. It was very strict on his book. So he doesn't, he won't give it to you to go out. So I would literally read it in his house, 1 hour, 2 hours, and I'll go. Sometimes I'll go as well as reading, because I also had the inclination to IT or computers. So I was studying. I'm a self-taught graphic designer, just to put out there. So yeah. I started, reading books on personal development, also reading books on programming. And I wanted to go study computer science. But unfortunately, not for fortunately, but I think everything had worked out for good. I went to study crop production, agriculture.
Okay.
And I'm saying all of this because some people, will be there who will think, my background, is not something to write home about. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why I'm where I am today. Your background should not keep your back on the ground. Like someone would say, I can't remember who the author of that quote is.
That's a quotable.
no matter where you're coming from, you can always change your story. You can always, have a better future, right? But the only guarantee that there's going to be a better future is when you begin to, pay attention to personal growth and development. So I started that journey, and that journey took me to, starting off different things. I started my company while I was young. In school, I started a branding company, registered. I was developing, working on campus, helping associations do their graphic design. And I was going to Lagos to do printing. I'll come back to Ogun State while schooling to be able to take care of my own, my bills and all, because my parents couldn't really afford at that time with school. So I did that, graduated from that. Tell me when I should stop this story, because it might take a while.
No, keep going.
So I went, from doing that in school, and I graduated, and I came back to Lake. My parents there were already in Abuja, so I, moved to Abuja. But I knew that I I shouldn't be in my parents' house for too long, right? So at the age of, I think, 23, 24, you know, I moved out. I had a friend who invited me to come live with them in Akute. Akute is somewhere in Ogun State again.
Oh, wow. Close to the Lagos. Been around the block in Nigeria.
And I went there, lucky enough, they were allowed me to stay for almost a year, or even more than a year. And that's where I started, you know, working with clients freelance. And it happened that one of my clients, who is a rich, who happens to be a HR consulting firm, I was designing their brand and do some revamp for them. I stumbled into HR because I wanted to develop. I knew I had the capacity to help people. I wanted to help people. I also give you a story again. Back in school, I started something called Nigerpreneur Youth Conference. It's a conference where we bring together experts and thought leaders to come inspire young professionals and young entrepreneurs who wanted to go into business. So I did that for a couple of four seasons, you know, four conferences, both in Ogun State, Akute, Lagos, and Nasarawa, right? What I knew I wanted to do, but I didn't know what that would be called in the professional world, right? So I stumbled on, you know, this client who was helping to do develop their brand. And she said, you like helping people. I see that you have that flair. You come in here, you know, I go into the office to work because I didn't have an office there. So I go to the client's place to work. So I was working there. I said, would you try giving HR a shot? I'm like, HR, okay. You know, and they were more into recruitment. So I said, okay, yeah. And would you like to join us full time as an employee? I was like, with I'm doing my own business and I'm, you know, I have the liberty to move around to meet clients and all of that. He said, well, this is what's going to happen. You work with us full time, but you still be doing your thing. So when you're not doing recruitment, you can be doing your branding, designing. We'll give you a space. I mean, that's a good deal, right?
That's actually not common in Nigeria where they will actually allow you to do your own thing whilst you're still working with them.
Oh, this woman is phenomenal. I think because of her mindset, and we'll talk about that as well, she was able to embrace that idea because she knew I was someone who wanted to do something more. Yeah. And but she also saw that I had this thing to help people. And true story, while I was working with them on recruitment project, she's now said, you know what? I see that when you do interviews, people tend to walk out of your interview with more insight. Even if they don't get a job, they're happy, right? Because they get feedback right on the spot. Would you want to do like a career coaching session, right? And that's where I started a coaching session for young professionals. So we had to set up a system for that where people can come to our organization. They'll sign up a day. I'll see like 20 people or 10 people just a Wednesday. They dedicated a Wednesday to me. Just come and do career coaching. It was helping the brand because now we're not just recruitment, but we're helping professionals,
right?
You know, to develop themselves. So I was, you know, championing that. I have, you know, a lot of story to tell about that. But that's how my journey has been. Maybe I'll stop for now. Then maybe you ask another question.
So what? Yeah, no, that was great. It's always good to see the person behind the story as well too. So now that you did that for a while, but then let's talk about your journey into deciding, okay, you know what, you're gonna quit. Because I mean, from your bio, you said that you quit a master's program and then decided to relocate to Canada, right? So did you stop that job? Did you quit everything? And then, you know what, like, so what was your motivation to, let's say, japa from Nigeria?
Okay, for number, let me, a backstory to that is that I've always known that I was not meant to be in a particular locality or be in Nigeria. I knew that there was something beyond that is global for me, that I was going to travel out, but I didn't know how that was going to happen. I remember back then in school, and a few friends, I think three of us or four of us, we, you know, as a Christian, we had this something wanted to start up, which was, you know, to take the gospel, you know, to the ends of the earth. And we had the map of the world, and each of us picked countries that we wanted to travel to. Imagine young student just dreaming that we're going to travel.
Dreams are always,
you know, and interestingly, Canada was not even part of the countries. I picked different countries, and I was just, you know, researching about the country, finding out how to, you know, make impact in that country, you know. And now I happen to have, so back to Nigeria. I was trying to move to Canada. How it happened was my wife, there was my fiance. She was studying she got getting admission to Canada, and we were dating. And she then found a program. There was this program that would allow spouse to invite their spouse over. It was a pilot program then, and they will come support you. You know, so then she came back. We got married. So we married in August. In October, I was already in Canada. The way the process happened, I've never traveled before. You know what they say, you have to make sure your passport, before you can go to those kind of countries, you'd have maybe traveled to Cotonou or Ghana.
season the passport.
Season the passport, yeah. But that didn't happen for me. It was just that my passport. And when it happened, she said, okay, let's give it a shot. We started the whole process of application and all. And I started a master's then in UNILAG. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking I could defer the program, but it happened that, I had to just shut that down. It wasn't even something I wanted to do. I was doing something on policy and I think something on international relations or so. So I was like, it's just, the same books and all. I just dropped that off. And then I had to tell my boss then that I was going to resign. Mm-hmm. And it was quite shocking to her. Like, I said, what are you, where are you going to? I'm like, I'm going to Canada. I already have my flight ticket. She was like, you this guy, And that was how I moved. And I know people then who said to me that, hey, you're already building a brand in Nigeria. You're, becoming, like a brand. You've been a brand.
How tough was that though to like actually leave everything and just, up and leave, right? Because in the end, I mean, you could see that you had all these things going, right? You had the HR job. You also had like the coaching session. You also had, obviously lots of plans, right? But then.
Yeah, a lot of plans.
At this point, you have to just drop everything and go. Like, so how tough was that for you?
It was tough.
Or maybe not. Maybe you're just happy to just leave. You never know.
Well, there are two sides. Number one, I would say, I'll be very honest. I was happy to leave, but also it was tough to leave.
Right.
It was tough because I didn't. There was no plan as to what I was going to do in Canada, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I had a job. It wasn't like I knew, okay, what exactly is going to happen. I knew I had a vision. So I knew that wherever I step in, I would thrive, but I didn't know what I would look like, right? Mm-hmm. But also to leave what I had, going on, I was also having some master classes I was organizing from time to time that people pay for, personal branding master class. And people already getting to know me as someone, expert in personal branding. So I was getting to develop, a name in that space. I did a couple of trainings and all. I remember a friend said to me, Mika, hey, you are leaving all that you're building, that you're going to, how is it? And it was kind of, scary, like, how are you going to start? But one thing, that kept me going was, number one, I was happy where I was going because I was going to meet my wife.
Okay.
So that for me is also the ultimate, like, okay, well, we will figure it out together as long as she's there, that's where I should be, right? So it wasn't really difficult to make that decision to move, as much as I had to let go of a lot of things to start all over again.
Let's talk about also when you arrived in Canada, because I've interviewed a couple of people where maybe they train people that just come in, like, emigrate from Nigeria and they come into the country, maybe Canada or the UK, right? So there's this mindset of when you arrive, depending on what kind of circles you end up in, right? You might be hanging out with people that do menial jobs, or for example, and then you think that's normal and that's where you probably go into, right? Before, it's normal. A lot of people do that, but then in the end, they kind of need to think of how to break away from that circle and think of, I can be more than this, right? So how was that journey for you when you arrived, right? So what was your situation like? Because obviously, there was originally no plan, but then how was the process for you into getting a job and then trying to start your new life in Canada?
Okay, great question. So for me, I think what helped me was the fact that I already have the mindset, the mindset that I could do more, the mindset that wherever I am, I would thrive, the mindset that the mindset that I'm enough. I can do all things. I know that no matter what I find myself doing, it's not the end. That, it's probably just the means to an end, but there's always more that I can deliver. I knew that I had value. So all of that helped me to maintain that mental, they call it mental toughness, to know that no matter where I find myself, I would thrive, and there are ways to go about it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So coming to Canada, I I mean, I had to do those jobs, right? Because I tried to apply for jobs, you know, in my field in HR. I couldn't get that field, but I knew that, hey, let me just find something to do and I will thrive, right? Yeah. So for me, getting into here, and some people have that, you know, it's unfortunate where they get to be around people who tell them that this is what is obtainable in Canada. Mm-hmm. And they think that that's what it is, and then they settle. So, you know, for me, I didn't get those kind of, I know how to kind of condition my environment to inspire me and keep me to keep pushing for more. So I wasn't in those spaces where people were telling me that this is what people do. You know, people come here and they say that is, you know, it's healthcare and this is what you should do, right? I just knew that I had to work hard and I had to have some strategies in place to be able to navigate my way. So coming here, I got the first job I got, I think it was even in a restaurant. Working in an India, I think it was a Chinese restaurant or so. Right. And that ended, and then moved to another job. I think the one that became full-time was a store clerk. I got into a job as a store clerk. But my goal then, when they asked me, you know, hey, where do you see yourself in 3 years? I said, in 3 years, I should be in management. And because I knew that I had value to offer, right? So, you know, the guy at the interview said, hey, it can't work that way. Like, I've been here for a longer time. You know, you can't get into management in 3 years. It's not possible.
In fact, mindset already.
You know what I mean? Like, the people try to define your reality based on their own reality, right? And that's why I tell people that you don't never get in a position where people tell you what is possible for you, right? So I told him, well, except I'm no longer in this organization, in 3 years I should be in management. And it happened within 2 years because I put in the work and I knew how to navigate my way, you know, in terms of understanding there's a principle called performance exposure, and I think the other one is the PI principle, where you do your job and do it well, but also know how to gain, how to put yourself out there to people of power, where they know that this is what the value you bring, and you are qualified to also step up and move up to the next level. So that was how I was able to leverage, you know, that idea, working in that place, and became great to management. And that, you know, that opportunity gave me the other opportunity to move on to other jobs, right? So for me, I never was in that environment where people told me that this is how things are done. There's more to life than what it is.
So tell us about, so when you decided to, you know what, I mean, obviously you knew that you were destined for more. So became a author, speaker. So tell us about that transition, right? And say, okay, you know what, I want to start this journey of my life, and then I want to become like a speaker and a thought leader. What was that? How was that transition for you?
For me, I already had started it before coming to Canada. So my first book in 2015. I think it was published 2015. So it was even before I came to Canada, and I already started speaking in Canada. But what I understood here again was that, you know, to get into this space, to begin to speak, you know, you have to be able to build your own credibility here as well, right? So for me, it was a step back, you know, because I think for the last 5 years, I did not put myself out there in terms of speaking or all. I wanted to build depth in this space. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, studying, learning. I went back to school. I did a certificate program in human resource management. I went on to do my master's as well. Yeah. And I was just, you know, observing and learning, you know, how things work here. Mm-hmm. And then at one point I decided, you know, I think that was, so like 2019, 2020, I said, okay, it's time to begin to put myself out there again and begin to launch my speaking career again. And that's how I launched out.
So your motto or moniker is now growth is personal, right? Can you explain what that means? Like, what do you mean by growth is personal?
Growth is personal is almost like you're twisting it to personal growth. So it is personal. I've always had this belief that no one can do your growing for you, right? No matter how much, you know, you put yourself in, you know, surround yourself with the right people that can influence you. If you don't make a decision to grow, to improve yourself, it's not going to happen, right? The, you know, personal growth, professional growth is a personal journey. It's something that you have to decide to say, okay, this is the level I want to get to, and I'm ready to pull in the work, right? And even going to getting coaching or getting help or going to training is also a personal decision. So growth is personal for me is the mindset that it's a, no, because a lot of times people wait for people to give them opportunity. People wait for people to tell them that this is how, you know, things will be done. I mean, you literally will hear people say, you know, you ask them, okay, why is this not happening? Or is it because of, you know, maybe this particular system, they don't favor me, or there's no opportunity. But when we realize that the journey called life and fulfillment and realizing our dream is a personal journey where you have to take ownership. Mm-hmm. I mean, before people can buy into what you want to do or buy into your ideas or vision, you have to take ownership and begin to show results. And we'll talk about that as well. You know, I know you want to talk more about the podcast and how I've been able to attract, get guests and all of that is because you have been able to take ownership and show some results. And then you begin to attract the right kind of people. So for me, growth is personal means that any change you want to see in your life, it has to start from you. If you want to see change in the world, start by changing you. If you want to see growth in your organization, you want to see growth amongst your team, start by, you know, growing yourself. So that's the philosophy.
You know, there's this thing I've always found out about, let's say, entrepreneurs and business people, right? So when it comes to that personal aspect of things, they are kind of concerned or insecure about them, of putting themselves out there. Right. So being the face of the business, for example, or being the one that is actually help going out there to go and promote themselves, or going on Instagram, posting a reel or something like that. How does one get over that situation? I'm like, you know what? What are people going to say about me? What are people going to troll? You know, like, how do they get over that hump to be able to, like, get themselves, you know, out of that insecure space?
I think first things first is you know, we want to be able to identify what is your purpose? What is your why? Like, what exactly, once you're able to understand your purpose, you understand that it's beyond what people say. Yeah. I mean, the calling on your life or the things you're trying to achieve, right? It's beyond what people say, the importance of that assignment, right? The importance of what your product is going to do in the world, the importance of what your gift will do in the world is more important than what people will say, right? Yeah. So when you place a high priority on your purpose, on your why, on the outcome of that message, it will drive you to know that, hey, I mean, this is beyond me, right? Yeah. And you have to put yourself out there. And number two, again, is that, you know, people will always, you know, talk, and you don't want to allow that to stop you, because when you look at the bigger picture, right, end of the day, it is you. Like, it's you and you alone. If everybody says, oh, this is talk, you know, you shouldn't do it this way, maybe you put yourself out there and you're afraid that someone's going to criticize you, they will always criticize even if you don't do anything, right?
Even if you don't do anything. Exactly.
It is important that, you know, we take ownership of our dreams, our vision, and understand that it's beyond us. The impact we want to make is beyond us. And when we look at the outcome of what we're trying to achieve, then we know that putting ourselves out there is not negotiable, right?
Yeah.
And even as business owners, you know, people buy from people. And oftentimes, the only way people can buy from you, people don't buy your product. They buy the fact that they trust you. They like you. They can associate with your story. They resonate with your story, right? That's why people buy from you. That's why people invite you to come speak. That's why people buy your product. It's not because you have the best product. It's because you are the one who resonates with them. So when you understand that people buy into people, then you have to be able to put yourself out there, because at the early stage of your business, it gets to a point where you would pull back. But even though, even the well-known brands we know today,
gonna have a face to it. They kind of, they do have.
Yeah, you have to put your face to it. I mean, name any brand that you want to talk about today, the CEO or, you know, whosoever is the founder, his or they have to put themselves out there, because that is the only way they can drive that trust and credibility, you know. For
I mean, the biggest example is Elon Musk, right? I mean, again, he could, if Tesla was a faceless brand or SpaceX was a faceless brand, I don't think they would probably be as big as they were today. So it's that eccentricity, is that uniqueness to him that actually helps that to grow as well. So that's interesting though. So now talking about putting yourself out there. So for you now, okay, so you started like a business where you want to have speaking gigs, and now you're going to put yourself out there. I see you have a podcast. That's probably one of the examples. So what ways have you tried to, methods have you used to put yourself out there to get people to notice you or invite you to speak and stuff like that?
Okay, great question. Number one is, first in first is that, and we could talk about strategies on how to put yourself out there, but I think the first thing I had to realize is that I have a message, and like I said before, that the importance of that message is so valuable that I cannot keep it to myself, and I have to put myself out there. How I'm able to put myself out there, you know, for example, to content creation, you know, by my writings, you know, from my story, from the lessons that I've learned, from the strategies that I use to, you know, apply to, you know, for example, getting, you know, speaking gigs, I share all of that online and, you know, on LinkedIn, for example, and that alone resonated with a lot of people. I remember, you know, one of the first speaking gig I got, you know, I think I spoke in Netherlands, although I spoke virtually, right? And that's the power of social media. You can do a whole lot. Like I was able to speak in Netherlands to a group of women, of 200 women gathered in that conference, and I gave my own session. And how they found me was, you know, the stories that I share on LinkedIn, you know, share my journey, you know, and they were able to resonate with that and wanted me to come share my thoughts on that area of personal branding, of personal growth, right? So the way to put yourself out there right now, you know, is to content creation in any format that you feel comfortable in. For example, I'm comfortable in text, I'm comfortable in video and audio as well, but most importantly is finding the platform that works best for you. I know I'm saying a lot of things right now, but finding the platform that works best for you and also where your audience will be, right? For example, my target audience are usually more professionals, career professionals, young entrepreneurs, and one of the platforms where they are on is LinkedIn. So that's why I spend more of my time, you know, on LinkedIn. Or other than, you know, as against Facebook. I mean, Facebook is okay, but, you know, that's where I put myself, that's the platform where I put myself out. So putting yourself out there, sharing your content, then also, you know, finding ways, and we could talk about, you know, how to be able to build, you know, your platform. You know, for example, if you've realized that, you know, you're putting yourself out there, you're putting content on LinkedIn, sometimes you need to get to the point where you take your content out of someone's house and put it in your own house. What do I mean? You can't control those platforms, right? Sometimes those platforms can crash. LinkedIn could close tomorrow. The only the way to build, to make your brand sustainable is to create your own platform where people can then come to you, right? It could be through having your own website where you put your content there. It could be through having your own newsletter, right? Yeah. Or you could even be having your own podcast, right? Just like, you know, like you have to, right? Yeah. So now people are coming to you to learn from you, to also see what you have to share, right? So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does answer the question, yeah, most definitely. Because in the end, it's about, okay, what are the techniques that you've used to grow your brand, right? And you can see that you actually have a very nice brand. And then also, like, from you can see that on your website, you have, like, really nice headshots and everything. So is that a conscious decision? Like, you know what, let me get good headshots so in the end I can look the part. No, well, maybe not look the part, but at least it's part of the personal branding. You can see that from the website. Who designed your website, by the way? Did you do it yourself or you had someone?
No, I didn't do it myself. It gets to the point where you have to get professionals
exactly.
and people to take off that. I can do it myself, but I wanted a professional who understands all the whole, you know, SEO and all of that to develop. Yeah. So someone else, a website designer, and you can see him on my website. If you just go straight down to the bottom, you see his company mm-hmm. there. And
fantastic. You can see that it's well thought out, right? There's the personal branding on the website. There's the headshots, there's the write-ups and everything. So now let's take that back to someone that wants to grow their personal brand, be it wanting to get investors on board or maybe even getting a job as well. So like how important is the factor of a personal brand?
Okay. I mean, personal brand is non-negotiable now. Like you cannot... Like I said, people buy into people, and the way to be able to stand out is when you become more intentional about how you show up, right? Mm-hmm. So we could walk through the steps on how to be able to build a personal brand that is memorable, that stands out, and also attracts, you know, people to you, you know, and I could talk about, you know, a few things here. Number one is perception. Right? Yeah. Being able to build the right perception about your brand. Because branding, a lot of times, is not just the product. It's about the perception. Now, when companies develop brand, the first thing they think about is how are the customers or our target customers going to perceive us? Because the more they perceive us in this at this level, the higher level, yeah. the more they're able to exchange, you know, value for it. So, you know, a lot of time people just think about, you know, the product that they want to, you know, develop, and they don't put a thought into who is the target audience, who am I targeting, and how are they going to perceive me? Because if they don't perceive you as $10,000, right, even if you charge $10,000, they're not going to pay you that. Right. Even if your product looks $10,000, but they don't perceive you as $10,000, they're not going to exchange value for it. So how can you build that perception such that they perceive you? You know, there's something they call the actual value and the perceived value. The actual value is what the product can actually deliver. Okay, this phone can help you make a call, right? But the perceived value is that this phone can also help me, you know, look good. Right.
Yeah.
So if I have an iPhone 15, it gives me status. Right.
Yeah.
So with that value, iPhone can be priced at, you know, $2,000 and people will buy it.
Yeah.
It's still the same thing that Tecno would do in Nigeria. It's still the same, you know, they will still do the same thing, even though some of them have a higher future. But being able to build perceived value is so important when it comes to, you know, anything you do, even your career and your business. And how do you build perceived value? Is by, you know, number one, having value, making sure that you have something that you have to say, you have something that you have to deliver that matters to people. And that comes, you know, from, you know, studying the market, knowing what people want and all of that, but also knowing what you also want to offer the market. But also developing perceived value also requires you to be able to amplify what it is that you do, amplify number one, you know, the pain point, to amplify the value that you're going to provide. Now, amplifying doesn't mean that you're going to say what you're not going to offer. No, it's by highlighting the values that you're going to offer that matters to people, right? Yeah. And you could do that through ensuring that your content is actually, you know, resonating with people. Right, you see people write stuff online, and you see thousands of, like, I mean, I see the difference whenever I share my story and when I just share maybe a tips, right?
Right.
People resonate with story better than they resonate with five ways to do this thing. Nobody remembers the five ways you shared with them. They remember that this guy was here before and now he's here. This person was 10 kg today and he has lost 5 kg. They can see it. They can feel it. And you can do that by storytelling. So being able to tell your story amplifies the value that you provide, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how you put perceived value. And then also having quality visuals that represent what you do, right? So putting some thought into how your visual image, you know, is designed and crafted, right? Because you could have quality message, you could have a quality product, but if you have not put a good thought into how to amplify it by having right visuals, no one's going to pay attention to it. Someone's actually like, how is it that you get, you know, corporate client to invite you to speak, right? It's because of the, I mean, I remember one of the organization that invited me, and I asked her, you know, when we're having the, you know, meeting before the main event, how do you guys come about, you know, find, I said, well, we're looking for speakers, and, you know, in Canada, and your website came up. I went to your website. Well, we love what we saw, the visuals. it represented the corporate.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And it was intentional. If you see my website 5 years ago and what it is now, you will tell. And someone's like, your website is so it is intentional, because I'm targeting corporate clients. It has to look that way.
Right? How was that validation for you that, okay, you know what? This is what I intended to do, and it actually performed that intent.
Yeah,
like, for example, like, was that validation for you? That, okay, well, I think what I did was actually a good idea.
Yeah. Like, when you get the feedback from, and that's why it's good to always ask questions. Be curious about why people approached you, right?
Exactly.
You know, and once you can use that as a feedback to improve, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, I went to your website, and also from your website, we saw that you had a podcast. I went to your podcast. We're like, oh, look at all the people, and we'll talk about that again if you go that route. But is, you know, that was a validation for me, the feedback from clients that, okay, yeah, this is making sense, this is working, right? So I don't know if I finished the question. So the talk on personal brand. So perception is one. Number two is two is positioning, being able to position yourself, you know, where it matters. You know, we talked about, you know, LinkedIn and all those social media platforms, but also positioning is not only about platforms, it's also how you stay in people's faces, right? The more people see you, the better they remember you. That's why you see Coca-Cola and all these big brands still do advertisement. It's not because they are doing something different. It's just that the more eyeball, you know, it sticks in their mind. That's why you tell, when you see entrepreneurs say, oh, they cannot do marketing, they cannot put themselves out there, or they will do, you know, marketing today, and then tomorrow they'll wait the next 1 month promotion. Some, you know, you have to be in people's faces. So for people to keep people see, the attention span now is so low that if you don't do something to get in people's faces, they will forget you, right? Yeah. So positioning means that you have to be in the right platform, but also you have to be consistent about being on that platform.
Yeah, okay. So that's perception and positioning, you would say, like, are the two biggest levers of driving a personal brand, you would say, right?
Yeah. Perception, position. There's more to that. There's also the place of having the product and all of that, designing product and all. Yeah, but perception and positioning are very key.
Yeah, especially talking about in this day of TikTok with short form content and everything, where people's attention spans are like even worse than goldfish, right? In the end, being top of mind, staying top of mind is definitely like a non-negotiable, right?
Non-negotiable. Because you want to be able to, when they think about a particular, and this is another thing again for, you know, anybody who's in thought leadership, you know, content creation and all, you want to be able to have a particular, have a topic or be known for something, right? And that's where, you know, if it's a product, if it's a message, you want to be known for something. So oftentimes I tell people, when you develop an idea, always give it a name and make that name always, you know, that name should be out there. So when they think about personal branding, or they think about personal growth, or they think about growth is personal, they would remember your name, right? So having the right naming as well is also very important.
Yeah, and also the consistency as well. So the consistency in putting, you're also a content creator, right? So you know how hard it is to make sure that, okay, you know what, every Friday or whatever day it is, I have my content out there. So let's talk about the challenges of growing this now. Like, so what challenges have you faced? Have you had any issues with consistent or trying to be consistent in putting your content out there?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge, you know, there's definitely challenges, you know, challenges of, you know, being, you know, busy, especially if you work. You know, some people, you know, who still work full time, I work full time, but I still have to find the time to do this, because this is part of my part of my expression of the gift and the talent and the experience that I have, right? So it's the one of the challenge is being able to find the time to, you know, to put content together. Mm-hmm. And there are the systems to be able to do that, which have been helping me, but sometimes it can be time consuming. And to get some point where you have to begin to outsource things. But when you are at the beginning stage, you want to be able to do it yourself so that you can gain that expertise, or not expertise, but develop the mastery of it, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, it's been, the challenge has just been being able to sometimes get tiring, you know, being able to have a schedule to just put content out there, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, having the discipline to make that happen has been something that has worked for me, right? For me, for example, I know I have a schedule for my podcast, and one way I've been able to do that is to have a calendar, right? So when I reach out to my guest, or my guests reach out to me, I don't have to be going back and forth with them with time. They just have a calendar. They go book a time that works for them. That is done, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to generate my content, I have, you know, in a month, I develop as many content that comes to my head in terms of topics.
So, and I just produce, okay.
Yes, I just put all the topics together. And so when I have a guest, I can think about who this guest is and what kind of topic resonates with them. I just bring out the topic, I give it to them, boom. And now with the help of AI, I mean, we cannot hide from it. AI is helping, right? You can generate, you know, content and then begin to find ways to modify it to sound, you know, in your language.
Yeah,
but that, you know, that's one way I've been able to get things done consistently.
Yeah, I also use AI even for like the transcript, right? And also like summarizing like YouTube descriptions. It's so helpful. It's amazing how much I use it these days, right? Something I actually didn't know about like 3-4 months ago. But yeah, it's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So we are coming up to the end of the podcast, right? Before we go, right, let's talk about some advice that you want to give to the audience, right? When it comes to personal growth or personal branding, what advice would you give to anyone listening right now?
For advice, I wrote some few things here that I would like to share is three things when it comes to, you know, personal growth and personal branding. But personal branding is, there's no personal branding without personal growth, because a lot of times people dwell a lot on personal branding, and you know, the personal branding for them is the visuals and what people can see. But if there's no depth or there's no, you know, substance to it, it's just, you know, when you show up, no one is going to, you know, nobody's going to remember you, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's balancing personal branding with personal growth. And there are two things that are very important to me whenever I share on personal growth, which is discipline, right? Nothing meaningful happens without discipline. Having the discipline to make things happen, you can say all what you want to say, have the right inspiration and motivation. If you don't put discipline in it, you won't get anything done, right? Mm-hmm. Since we started our podcast, one of my goals was to have, in a year, to have at least 50 episodes, 100 episodes. We're almost there yet. We are 55 episodes now. And it's just discipline, right? And to be able to develop discipline, there are a few things that I would just share with listeners to develop discipline. Because a lot of people are like, how do I stay consistent? Mm-hmm. How do I get things done, right? So discipline is one way to do it. And to develop discipline, number one, decide what you want. Decide what you want to achieve. Decide what the outcome is. Even though you don't hit that target, you have to define it, right? A lot of times people just go into things without knowing what the target is, what the goal is. So decide what you want. Number two, focus on what is important. Mm-hmm. Amongst everything you need to do, there are certain things that are important. Focus on what matter. You know, when we were in science, you know, growing up in science class, they said matter is anything that occupies space, that have weight and occupies space, right? So you want to be able to focus on things that would have weight, right? Not the flimsy things of, you know, maybe commenting. Some people want to post content and they get distracted by different people's posts, and they're just commenting and they've not done theirs, right? So when you want to focus on what matter is, your post has to be there. So before, for me, before I begin to comment anybody's post, I have designed my system to post mine first. Then I can go and then you can... You know what I mean? Because people just people don't understand that, you know, the calling upon your life requires that you also add value, also do stuff. But if you wait for people to always do and then you go and you just be second, you know, be out there. So focus on what matters. Number three, create a compelling vision board or mission board, right? Cut a picture, whatever that thing looks like, have it visual or written down that so you can always see it. I remember one of the speaking engagements I had, I wrote, but when I came to Canada, I put the logo. I still showed my wife the other day. I said, this is about my time this week. Can you see the logo on this place? It was this organization, but this partner organization invited them. They're close to each other, but I had the picture of the logo. That's how detailed you can be. So whatever you want you achieve, get the logo of what that represents or the picture, you know, and begin to see it. And the more you see it and you make those confessions in your heart, it begins to, you know, become a reality. Right. Number four, cultivate the right climate. The right climate is so important. Climate is the atmospheric condition of a particular place. So if you want to be disciplined, you can be disciplined in chaos, right? Find a way to cultivate the right environment, right? Either by what you hear, by what you see, by the things you know that inspires you around you, cultivate it. Because to be able to keep going forward and advancing your career, your business, you have to do that in the right environment, right?
Yeah.
Number five, develop a sense of urgency. Everything you do has to have a schedule, but also beyond schedule, have a deadline. It might seem difficult, but it's part of the process. If you don't put a schedule and deadline to it, you will not do it. It will take all the time, right? And one thing, one greatest threat to success, to progress, is not failure, it is complacency. And the fact that people are now, you know, not taking it easy, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. But when you develop a sense of urgency to every task that you do, you will get things done. You'll be more effective. Number six, document your journey. Write things down. Document every success you've had, every, you know, your lessons, the mistakes you made. Document it because it is part of your story. It is part of what will generate business for you tomorrow. Do you know that? Even the story of struggles, oftentimes people think that, oh, I can't share that because do you know that some people are going through that same struggle?
And that's what they relate to. That's what they relate to, exactly.
Before you know it, people are coming to you. I mean, when I share my immigrant journey, I've had people invite me to come speak on that, right? And I mean, some of them are paid, some are just for free, but that's one way to do that. The next thing is confidence. From discipline, when you're disciplined, you begin to develop confidence. Develop confidence, number one, be aware. Have developed awareness of your strengths, your skills, you can do. Have the right mindset. The right mindset would help you, you know, do a whole lot of things. And you can you know, develop mindset by reading books, achieve the right people, but mindset is so critical to advancement, to growth in anything, right? Some people can see, you know, an opportunity and see differently because of the kind of mindset that they have, right? So I mean, people have come to Canada who are complaining about the system not working for them, but there's some people who are also thriving. It's all mindset. Number three, having the right environment, being the right environment. Who are you working with? Who are you moving with? Who are the people you have around your corner? Someone said your network determines your net worth, right? And that is so important because your network will either be a safety net for you or it'll be a safety, but also a strategy for you. It will also be a source for you, a source of, you know, of support for you, right? So having the right network is so, so important. Number five is knowledge. You must be out there for knowledge. Study, read books. People ignore the place of reading now. They say, oh no, you know, I'm here in Canada or somewhere and I'm just going to walk. We walk so much that we don't even grow again, right? We're not growing, we're not learning. So read books. What is the last time you read a book, you know? So read books, because that would improve your mind. That would improve your frame of reference. That's what they call frame of reference. The frame of reference is, you know, in design, is knowing, seeing what you want to design and then developing something that looks like it. So most people don't have a frame of reference of possibilities. And how you get a frame of reference is from gathering knowledge and insight from people who have gone ahead of you. And you can only do that by books, you know, even podcasts as well. Number five, take ownership, you know, take ownership for your journey. Take ownership. No one is coming to help you. You know, when I started this podcast as well, you know, one of the things people have like, how do you get, you know, guests and everything, is because I took ownership of this this podcast. I don't, you know, I don't wait for people. I reach out to people, but I have observed that, I think you asked a question one time that how do I get guests on my show?
Yes, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you asked that question. Maybe I'll answer that question now. It's been a while I reached out to guests.
People are now reaching out to you.
Because I've been able to develop that consistency and show some result that mm-hmm. guests, I've had the people now, I'm booked all the way to July, and these are people who have reached out. CEOs, different organizations, they want to be on the podcast because they've seen value, right? Mm-hmm. So take ownership of whatever you're doing. It might be small, but once you take ownership and begin to work on it, it will become great. It will become big, right?
Yeah.
Number six is visualization. To develop confidence, you have to keep visualizing what it is you want to accomplish. No matter how tough things might be in business, no matter how the struggles, always visualize that there's more, that things are going to get better. And like I said, have a compelling vision board. When you see those things that you want to achieve, you want to buy a property, you want to do this, begin to visualize it. Yeah. And before you know it, you begin to attract the people that would, come support you or help you or give you the connections. And number seven, take action. Momentum. You want to be able to take action daily, weekly. Break down your goals into daily actions. And as you keep doing that, you see that, you begin to get results in either your career, business, and even your life.
Wow, that's powerful. That's really, really impactful. I think you've taken the trophy of the best answer to what advice do you have for the audience? Because I don't think anybody has given such an in-depth, powerful answer. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
So if people want to get in touch with you, Emeka, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay. My website, www.emekanwarulo.com. That's emekanwarulo.com. That's my website. It houses everything that I do. But also LinkedIn is one platform that I use. I'm on Instagram, but I'm not as big on that as a LinkedIn. So emekanwarulo on LinkedIn. You'll find me there. And on YouTube as well, I'm working on building my content on YouTube now. So you can search me there, emekanwarulo as well. That's where you can find me.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Emeka, for coming on the show.
Yeah, really appreciate thank you. It. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks.